there's a conversation that doesn't happen often enough about what it means for global sporting organizations to operate in politically complex environments. And the F1 Abu Dhabi situation puts it into sharp relief.
Formula One's expansion into the Gulf was a deliberate strategic choice by Liberty Media after they acquired the sport in 2017. The logic was straightforward. Gulf states would pay premium hosting fees, the circuits were modern and well-funded, and the time zones worked for European broadcast audiences. Bahrain at the start of the season, Saudi Arabia in the spring, Abu Dhabi as the season finale, it was an elegant calendar structure built on Gulf enthusiasm and Gulf money.
The regional conflict has disrupted that structure in real ways. Bahrain and Saudi Arabia deferred, and the commercial cost of those deferrals, the reporting references it without giving a specific figure. But we know from how Formula One contracts work that hosting fee penalties for cancellation or deferral run into the tens of millions. Abu Dhabi pushing ahead is partly about avoiding another round of those costs.
There's a broader sports washing conversation embedded here that I don't want to skip past. Gulf states have invested in Formula One hosting, English Premier League clubs, LIV Golf, ATP tennis events, and now the Saudi League in football, in part because major sporting events confer legitimacy and generate positive international coverage. When the political environment becomes more contested, as it has with the current regional conflict, those sporting investments become more complicated to defend publicly.
The F1 community itself has been inconsistent on this. Some drivers have been willing to speak about human rights concerns in Saudi Arabia specifically. Others have taken the position that their role is to race, not to adjudicate foreign policy. Lewis Hamilton, during his time in the sport, was notably willing to engage on social issues. The current grid has been quieter.
And organizationally, Formula One has essentially taken the position that the sport goes where it's invited and paid to go, and that engagement rather than boycott is the appropriate framework. You can debate that philosophy, but it's at least a coherent one.
What makes the current moment different from previous controversies is the direct conflict context. Hosting a race in a region actively involved in a military conflict, even if the conflict isn't on Abu Dhabi's soil, changes the moral calculus in ways that are harder to resolve with engagement language.
The tourism data is ultimately the economic verdict. When hotel occupancy falls 14 percentage points in 12 months, and the tourism authority stops publishing visitor data, the argument that Formula One is driving beneficial economic activity in the region becomes very difficult to sustain.
The U.S. Open storyline feels almost like a deliberate counterpoint. Here's a major sporting institution that, rather than doubling down on opaque relationships, is creating a player council, increasing prize money to a record level, and engaging with athletes who are explicitly threatening to use their platform for protest. That's a different model for managing the relationship between sport and power.
The $108 million purse is significant enough that it deserves its own moment. For context, Wimbledon's 2026 total purse was announced at around £57 million, roughly $73 million at current rates. The French Open announced approximately €61 million. The U.S. Open at $108 million is substantially ahead of the other three majors, and that gap has been growing.
What Pegula and Shelton and the Player Council are pushing for isn't just more money, it's structural input into how the sport governs itself. Prize money is the visible symbol, but the underlying demand is for player representation in decisions about scheduling, Grand Slam format, ranking point structure. That's a much more ambitious ask. And the fact that the USTA has been described as the most communicative of the four slams suggests they understand that the transactional piece, write a bigger check, only buys so much stability.
The parallel to labor movements in professional sports generally is strong. When players organize effectively and have credible leverage, the ability to protest, to coordinate, to withhold participation, governing bodies respond. The lesson from major sports leagues over the past four decades is that player organization, when sustained, consistently improves player conditions. Tennis has been slower to get there, partly because of the individual nature of the sport and the difficulty of coordinating thousands of independent contractors across four different governing bodies.
A player council with actual Grand Slam engagement is a structural step towards something more durable than episodic protest.